Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Jason Terry's made some pretty good headlines talking about your basketball team, your Batman and Robin duo. Do you agree with what he said here? He was on with ESPN and said Luka and Porzingis can be one of the best dynamic duos in the history of the game. You can text in if you agree or disagree at 877-881-1053. You can tweet into the show at GBagNation. Gentlemen, what say you?
Well, that is quite lofty in the history of the game. So
Jordan Pippen,
Kobe, Shaq, Magic, Kareem.
What do those guys have in common?
Lots and lots of titles.
Yeah.
Rings.
At least three rings together, I think, is what gets you in the conversation, right? Will they get there? I will say the odds are no, but I love the beginning of it, and I love that this team, I think, is going to be in that conversation for the next 8 to 10 years yearly of a top three seed in their conference and a chance at it. And who knows? I mean, with what they've just seemed to figure out right before the stoppage and how they just started clicking and getting it going, when they get a little more help and more experience together and Luka keeps getting better, the ceiling is the roof, but I will pump the brakes on that and call that slight homerism.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Not in the homerism, but I do like the direction they're going, though. I like the path on the way to the house because, you know, to me, I'm one of these guys that was pushing. Hey, let's see these guys play. Let's see them keep going. Let's, you know, and, you know, we were starting to see some things like Jeff was talking about, some development there, you know, with the players. And I think the front office knows what they need to do. I think they know what players they need to add. They've already got the coach, you know, a lot of positivity about the Dallas Mavericks.
And the front office is, I think, a big key there. They're resourceful and they're creative. They can find ways to put together rosters. They're aggressive. They're willing to take some risks. And they have such an outstanding coach to help put it together. I mean, you're looking at a team right now that has two young superstars and then mostly leftover parts from when you were tanking. And he built the best offense in the NBA out of it. I think it comes down to how much postseason success you can have, and that's going to come down to the coach in the front office, a lot of it. But, you know, Luka and Porzingis are going to have to own a portion of that because you have to get the championships, and in order to get the championships, it's players typically that can dominate the game from both sides, offense and defense. It's what LeBron's been doing. It's what Kawhi Leonard did. You know, it's what Shaq and Kobe and those Lakers teams were able to do. So how good of a defense can you build around them? Go ahead.
I think that's going to be a really important part of the rest of their team building. Because I don't know, like, I think because they both have good basketball IQ, and I think because of Porzingis' length and ability to block shots as a helper, like, no, Luka and KP will never defend like Jordan and Pippen could defend or like Shaq and Kobe could defend. But if you can put the right guys around him, like Steph Curry, that's not a defender.
No.
But if you get, you know, without Draymond Green, maybe they don't have any championships. So can this team find something like that? Because KP can be a useful part of a defense. And I don't think Luka is a total liability on defense either, because they at least are able to rebound. They've got the size. They've got the intelligence. KP's got the shot blocking. I think if you can get some of those wing guys, or maybe even a sort of big if he can shoot, If you can get guys like that that can bring toughness and on-the-ball defense, then I think that's probably the most important next step for this team.
How great do you have to play defense, though, if everybody's shooting from the outside so much?
Well, I mean, once you get to the postseason and every possession matters and guys ratchet it up to 110, like, it becomes harder to score. You got to be able to play that side of the ball.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying there. I'm just kind of, you know, I'm thinking about, you know, that with Pippen and Jordan and guys, you talk about defense in a different era, too, where guys were, you know, where it was a, to me, it was a much more physical game.
Klay Thompson and Draymond. Those guys are great defenders on the Golden State teams. I mean, you've still got that. It seems like it's more and more important that you've got guys that can close out quickly, that can switch, that can, you know, make it harder. Because, yeah, everybody's going to shoot a bunch of bombs. How can you make it hard on them to do that? And I think that's going to come down to the Mavericks team building outside of Luka and KP, really.
You can mitigate some of the need for defense, though, if you are a tremendous three-point shooting team.
Yeah,
I think that is true. Maybe you don't need defense as much, but you know the Warriors got a lot of credit for being high scoring and high octane offense, but they were the number one defense in the NBA for a lot of their reign as well.
To me, correct me if I'm wrong, but to me, stopping ball movement would be important. To me, if the teams that find a way to get those shots are teams that can really move the ball. You know, and if you're finding ways to deny the ball, or you're making teams have to hold the ball deep into the shot clock, well, then you're going to have that. That's how you're going to get some stops.
So, are you 6'8" and really fast and great at anticipating where the ball is going? You can still play defense, but as Jeff said, you got to close out on the 3-point line, and you need at least one guy who can protect the rim and not get in foul trouble. You know, so it's significantly different. You need a one rim protector and guys that are great at knowing where the ball is going and get a hand in a guy's face before he hits an open 3-point shot. And I think this Mavericks team is going to have a lot of success. But, Jeff, you brought up something a few minutes back about Seth Curry that I find very interesting, because isn't that the most accurate comparison? Even though Seth is vertically challenged, he's defensively challenged like Luka and Porzingis are. To me, that's the best comparison for where our superstar duo is right now, around where Seth Curry was. Where, okay, tremendous player, maybe you're going to win league MVP like Steve Nash did, but you're not Kawhi Leonard or Kobe or LeBron in that you can go be the best offensive player and then shut down the other team's best offensive player. And I think those guys will not only hold a special part in the perception of who the best players are, but they will also dictate who wins the championships. You know, so if you're a player like Seth Curry, you need the roster to hurry up and, you know, get set very well around you. Where if you're LeBron or Kawhi, you say, well, I got both dimensions on this established. You just need good players around me, where I think the Mavs and the Warriors need a different layer of role player around.
Does your role player evaluation become different now that you're just focusing on defensive players because you do have two superstars? Do you say, okay, maybe you give something up as a scorer, but you got a great defensive player? You were talking about Green, you know, those types of guys that – Do you say in your evaluation, like, or can you go out and get guys and say, okay, we don't have to have the superstar player or score. We need a good role play defender.
And then it gets tough, because now you also add that because I'm not super quick and strong, which would help me on defense, now I can't take over a game brilliantly offensively like on my own, like LeBron or Kawhi or Jordan would. We also have to play team basketball, Brian. We want defense. Yeah. We're scouting. We're evaluating. But we also need you to be able to catch and shoot and dribble to make Rick Carlisle's offense work. So, I don't know. Maybe it's going to be a
little... So you can't just sit there and say, okay, because you have the two superstars, you can focus on defensive players. That you can say, okay, let's go spend our money on those types of guys. Let's go out and recruit, scout what we have to do to get those kinds of pieces.
I think you want to upgrade the bench pieces they have in a lot of ways, but I also think that the sort of guys they have are kind of on the right track. You wish some of them were – like, you wish Seth was a little bigger and able to defend, right? But you've got to, because Luka is going to be able to put the ball in the right person's hands at the right person at the right time. If you're a great defender, but you can't shoot the three, you're almost worthless to me.
Yeah.
Because down on this end, what I'm banking on is I'm going to draw so much attention with Luka that one of you is going to end up with an open look from three. And so you're just looking for three and D, multiple of them. Can you defend and can you shoot an open three?
Let me ask you this. Is Kleba a three and D player?
I think he's a pretty good one.
Yeah. I think Kleba's a big version useful. Of
it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he's going to take over 100 three-point shots, right?
And he's useful because you never know when you might accidentally have a matchup where somebody actually has a big and suddenly you need Kleba. You play Zion and you're like, hey, Kleba, welcome to the game plan. And
yeah, that was cool. I guess that's
that was good.
Even though he's not a real – Zion's not a real big, but that's the game he plays. And you say, all right, we've got to have somebody down there. Yeah, he is real big.
You need a big guy to stop him.
Yeah.
Have a shot at it.
Yeah.
Okay, so there is Jason Terry saying Luka and Porzingis can be one of the best dynamic duos in the history of the game. And I think so. I would agree with that. You're going to need to get that postseason success. Canada threw a big old curveball out of Toronto today. That's a big around the NBA storyline as – the projection into, you know, when we could start the playoffs or get NBA basketball going got more complicated. They said nothing's going down in Toronto until the beginning of July. So if the NBA or anybody wants to decide we're going to have sports back, it's going to involve Toronto coming stateside and staying here to play all of their games.
This is why I continue to say they just need to go straight into the playoffs. Because let Toronto take over some team's facility, you know, so they can they can play these games. If you want to get them close to the border somewhere where, you know, we'll see. But I just think that they go straight into the playoffs. Do some conditioning, whatever you have to do to get people ready to go, and then go into play. I like what you were talking about yesterday, General, the fact that you might have some one-and-dones. You know, I think that's totally okay with me. Totally okay.
And I am excited about the Mavs. I mean, they're younger. They will probably snap back into shape. And in a shorter series, if you have guys that are shooting the lights out, you could beat the Clippers. You could do something crazy. That will not be impossible, especially, you know, with the more veteran teams. You saw at the beginning of this year how youth served the Mavericks well. They came out of the gates on fire where a lot of the veteran teams were like, oh, man, I need to get in shape. Not necessarily a spring chicken anymore. How about some Porzingis audio here? He did a live chat on Instagram. Can we jump to cut 11 here, Lucius? Porzingis, he talked about a lot of stuff, including how he's doing in the quarantine and what he's doing to stay in shape. But here, Kristaps Porzingis, what was it like on the bench? This was 2 weeks ago tonight when the season suddenly stopped and you guys found out you're playing the last game for a while in the NBA.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're all kind of in shock. And at that point, we didn't realize the magnitude of this whole situation. And so it was kind of a shock. And then we realized, like, okay, the circumstances are what they are. And now what's the next move? What's the next thing we have to do? And that's it. And I mean, me as a player, I've done the most I can to stay safe, to do the things team wants me to do, and making sure I stay ready for whenever is the moment when we can finally get back on the court.
Yeah, as a player, you got to take that as a matter of pride. I'm not coming out of this house in bad shape, but I have a feeling it's going to be old school. You know, you are going to have a number of guys in football that show up. It's like, holy crap, is this 1965?
Yeah.
You need to run suicides for 3 weeks to have a shot at playing opening day.
General, you're onto something that a lot of guys were talking with me about last night. They worry about these. There's some guys that do have home gyms and a weight equipment and ways to work out. There's a lot of guys that don't have access to that. And especially, what are these rookies going to do once you draft them? What kind of program are they going to be on? You know, how are they going to be able to get in shape and be ready to go and all that? And you have to worry about these players that don't have, you know, guys aren't, maybe they're staying inside. They're not working out. They're not getting out. They're not running and doing those things. But there's a lot of guys that do worry about these rookies. Once you draft them, now where do they go? Now what do they do? You know, it used to be you brought them in immediately and got them acclimated to the program. Well, in this day and age, we can't do that.
Yeah, there's a big-time different level of education on fitness and nutrition. And the benefit of having a regular draft cycle is they're with their agents and organized groups of people who are keeping them in shape. and then right after the draft, they're showing up for the NFL. Well, now, 6 weeks before the draft, that accountability system has stopped, and you might not see him again until July. It's going to be very interesting. I relate to Porzingis on another thing there, though, that it's been very surreal, and every couple of days you update what the normal is. But after watching the stadiums in China and Italy shut down, I thought, wow, that'd be crazy. Good thing that won't happen here. And then like a few days later, it was happening here. It was like, no way. No flipping way. And I still remember 2 weeks ago those shows going, oh, they're probably not going to shut down youth sports. I mean, we can still have gatherings of 200 people or more. And it's like, youth sports ain't coming back. Maybe middle of late summer. You might have like a late summer slash fall season. All those things becoming the new normal. One other quick cut here as Porzingis talks a little bit more. Let's hear from cut two here on Porzingis and what he is doing to stay in shape as he answered questions from fans on an Instagram live chat.
Yeah, I mean, I try to do what I can. I have a little room with a lot of the stuff that I use to kind of stay in shape. Can I put the camera? I don't think I can. So I have a little weight room here.
Nice.
You know, some bike and stuff, so I can do some cardio, and I do a little bit of boxing. I try to work on my boxing skills too. So I have a little bag right here, a little basket over here too, so I can keep working on my game. Just trying to stay busy and stay in shape, and you know, we don't know when we're gonna restart everything, so just making sure I do the max I can to stay in shape and stay ready.
This does not sound good. This guy needs round-the-clock physical therapy to stay in the game. He's like, oh, yeah, I got some stuff over here. I got a bike and a bag. Dude, you know, he took extra time coming off the ACL to prepare his body and his core and his base to withstand the rigors of the NBA. Now where's that going? Porzingis is the guy that needs to stay in shape so he doesn't have to get back in shape. I mean, he's already plugging the injury-prone dam with every single digit he has on his body. And now, that doesn't sound good. Anybody else? No? Am I going sky is falling? Is this my bad?
No. It's your injury paranoia guy. It is.
Okay.
But it's well-founded. It's well-founded.
Okay. All right. Well, speaking of well-founded, it's time for Captain Trade Down and Brian Broaddus' draft segment of the day here in the G-Bag Nation. Where are we going with that next, gentlemen?
Can we narrow down some of these pass rushers for the Cowboys? It's next.
Welcome back, G-Bag Nation. It is time now for Jeff and Brian's draft segment of the day. Segment's brought to you by Soda. That's state-of-the-art weight loss, and it's brought to you by Rubin and Associates. If you're drowning in debt, call our guy Mark Rubin, 800-LAWYERS. Mark will talk with you personally. Take control of your debt, eliminate your stress, and allow you to live life again. It all starts with a simple confidential phone call to Mark Rubin at 800-LAWYERS. Mark Rubin, Rubin and Associates, 1-800-LAWYERS. Here they are, Jeff and Brian.
Hi, everybody. I'm Jeff.
I'm Brian.
Gavin's over there. Lucius is there as well. I wanted to talk about today that our buddy John Oning did a nice thing in the Dallas Morning News today, looking at some of the defensive ends who the Cowboys could potentially pick in the first couple of rounds of the upcoming draft. And the most interesting part of it, Brian, that I want to go through with you and tell me, what does this make you think? And can it eliminate players? Here's every defensive end that the Cowboys have drafted since 2015. Randy Gregory, and I'm going to give you three measurements, their height, their weight, and their arm length.
Okay.
He's Randy Gregory, 6'5", 235, 34-inch arms. Ryan Russell, 6'4", 269, 33 3/8-inch arms. Charles Tapper, 6'3", 271, 34 3/8-inch arms. Taco Charlton, 6'6", 277, 34 1/4-inch arms. Dorrance Armstrong, 6'4", 257, 34 3/4-inch arms. Jalen Jelks, 6'5", 256, 34 5/8-inch arms. Joe Jackson, 6'4", 275, 34 1/8-inch arms. What do these guys seem to have in common?
Every one of them but one had over 34-inch arms.
Yeah, and none less than 33 and 3/8, and none less than 6'3". And I wonder, should we factor that in when we're talking about who the Cowboys might draft? How much of this is Will McClay? How much of this is Rod Marinelli?
Yeah.
Or do we not know for sure?
I think we should say this is probably a little bit more about Rod Marinelli. I think this is really something that that he always had played with those types of guys. And nothing against Will. I think that Will understands what length, what range, all those things do for you as a defensive end. But I do believe this was something that was very much about what Rod Marinelli thought about. You know, long-armed guys play that way. Goes back to the Simeon Rice and guys like that. Yeah.
I bring it up because of the five guys that John Owning brought up in the Dallas News, and we'll go through each of these five, and what I want to do is say, where would you be comfortable taking these guys and be happy that the Cowboys took them? Because the first one that he does is Kalyvon Chaisson, who, by the way, 32.5-inch arms. So not in the mold that they've been drafting previously, but if that's a Marinelli thing, it could be okay. We've talked about Kalyvon Chaisson a lot out of LSU, just speed and athleticism off the edge. That is Kalyvon Chaisson. And I think it's pretty well established at this point that we say if you take him at 17, we go, okay, is that fair?
No, that's absolutely fair. You know, and there's people, Jeff, and I don't know if on Twitter they're asking you the same question, that we did not consider Chaisson a tier two guy, right? Is what we
Yeah, I didn't.
You didn't, but I did.
I didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, but you know, in our scouting world, if you and I were putting together our board, then
you would win that one and I would win the next one.
Yeah. Oh, so, you would give so that one up?
Yeah, I'd give that one up.
Okay.
Because I wouldn't fight hard on that one. I just, you know, he's one of those guys that I see the bust factor, so I would put him in my he would be in my third tier of prospects. But what we would do is we would put him in there because you also tried to put Ross Blacklock in there from TCU.
Yeah.
So I'd give myself the Ross Blacklock win. I'd give you the Chaisson win if you were okay with that.
Yeah, I think the guy that they're more likely to take, the argument that you should fight harder on, if you were talking about the Cowboys, you should fight me harder on Chaisson is what you should fight me on. If that's the one you feel the worst about, I know this is going off track or anything like that.
No, that's fine. I don't feel bad about him. I just want to acknowledge, I want to be very clear that I acknowledge that there is a potential for a bust there. That we're picking a guy that's not necessarily a run player, that's got 8.5 career sacks. We're kind of picking the athlete and not necessarily the football player or their production on the field. Want to acknowledge that.
If the argument is the things you're exactly talking about, if that's your argument, I you know what? I have him as – I think that to me that he is a guy that has that ability to rush the passer. I do see explosiveness. I do see pass rush. I do see a plan. I don't just see a guy that runs up the field. I see a guy that has an idea of what he needs to do to rush the passer. You know, I think he's the second best pass rusher in the draft. I know John thinks the kid, Braun, from Wisconsin is. I graded him as a linebacker. I didn't grade him as a rusher.
I did, too.
I think teams are grading him as a linebacker. I don't think they're grading him as a defensive end. But
there's probably smart teams that say he can play linebacker, and on pass downs we can rush him.
Yeah. No, I think you can. I think you can, but I don't see him as an every down defensive end. That's my problem. And John makes some really good observations about the player. But I just feel like, though, to me, and it might be, and we might be in a different situation now. General talked about this earlier. If you feel like they're not going to do anything with Crawford and he'll be back, and they're definitely going to get Randy Gregory back, maybe you don't have to draft Chaisson.
Yeah.
Maybe you don't. Maybe now, okay, who are the guys? Zugina from Florida. You know, who are the guys down the line? Who's that guy at 51? Who's the guy at 81? You know?
That's where we're headed. So the second guy that he brings up, and let's talk about where you would be comfortable with the Cowboys picking him, because I think this next guy is if you traded down to the mid to late 20s, if they picked him, I'd be cool with it. And that is Yeter Grosmatos at Penn State. He would probably fit the Rod Marinelli mold, by the way. He's got almost 35-inch arms, 6'5", 266. Over the last couple of years, he's had at least 8 sacks and 14.5 tackles for loss 2 years in a row. And I think on tape, he looks pretty athletic. He's one of the guys where it doesn't – his athleticism doesn't jump off the screen, but I look at it and I go, yep, that's enough. And that length, that plays. So Grosmatos at Penn State, where would you be comfortable with the Cowboys taking him? I would say if you traded down to somewhere around 25 or lower,
yeah,
and you picked him there, I would go, okay.
Bingo. That's exactly where he should be picked, you know. But the thing that worries me about him is there's quickness, but I don't always see the quickness. You know what I'm saying? It was very much a – it was – I worry about a guy that, you know, is – it's okay. Oh, there it is. It's a flash of it. And then three plays, you see nothing. But I don't like the way I want guys, if they're going to play infield, I need him to capture that edge. But this guy, he plays really well with his hands. He can extend. You can see the arm length, how he's able to control blockers. You know, I've seen him stand up and rush. I've seen him put his hand on the ground. I mean, he's all those things, you know, he's been good at, as a pass rusher, but there's some things where he gets stuck, you know. And I just don't need a guy that's going to get stuck. And if he, you know, the long arms, the quickness, all these things, I have more questions about him as a pass rusher than I do a guy like Chaisson. But I think you have him right to where he needs to be taken. That's if you trade him back. Taking him at 17 does me no good. I don't see that.
Next pass rusher that John Oning brings up in the morning news, and this is a guy that I am a fan of the tape, Notre Dame, Julian Okwara, 6'4", 252 pounds, 34 3/8-inch arms, so Rod Marinelli would like him. And he's another one of those guys that to me is not Chaisson's level of it, but another one of those kind of on tape thinner guy for a defensive end, not necessarily a run player, but really flashes the athleticism to be able to rush from the outside. And he is a guy that if you could get him to 51, or if you did some moving around in the draft and you were somewhere in the second round, I'll take Julian Okwara anywhere 35 to 51.
Yeah, I totally agree with what you're saying. The thing I saw about him, Jeff, is he works hard to hold the edge. You know, he's good enough with the link to not let blockers get to him, and he'll attack the blocker. That's something. I mean, when you see him come off the ball, he'll extend, he'll hold the blocker. He's got some pop in his hands. Yeah. I saw him as a guy when he got in position to tackle, he could finish. He can capture the edge. And you see him play both left and right and be effective doing it. Because Kareem, what they do is they play strong and weak. Him, Kareem, his teammate, they play, you know, opposite each other, and they'll have to move around depending on the strength of the formation. But I like the way this guy redirects. I think that there's some things about him with the quickness is good, but I'd like to see him come with a little bit more combination of some pass rush moves along the way. That's something that, you know, you'd like to see your guy have, but the range is there, the length is there, and the ability to hold the point is there. So I'm a fan of the player.
I think he's the sneaky name that isn't getting talked about enough that could turn into a double-digit sack guy in the NFL, where everybody's kind of focused on Chaisson and Young, and then it's just a scattering of names. I think that Okwara, if you had to bet on a guy, that there's a decent chance that he turns out to be the guy. Curtis Weaver, Boise State. Boy, the Cowboys love them some Boise State. 6'2", 265. 32 3/8-inch arm, so he wouldn't be a Marinelli guy. Tons of production at Boise State. Really nice combine with the 7-flat 3-cone drill. Curtis Weaver, I think at 51, I would go, okay, let's see what happens. Because I kind of go back and forth on the tape, but the 3-cone was really encouraging. That tells you that he can bend. 51, I would say, okay. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm on board with you on this guy because I do see this guy control blockers. I do see him play with his hands. I do see pass rush moves. This guy never stops moving towards the ball. Never stops. I mean, he is constantly going. He does a great job of keeping that outside arm free when he's having to play the run. I saw a finisher. I think he has a feel for how to attack the pocket. There's a lot of times you'll see these guys rush up the field, they get too deep, and then these tackles just wash them on by. This guy knows where the quarterback is at the spot. He works to dip to get to the spot, though. I like this kid a lot. I think at 51, he would be a good addition to a team that that needs a guy that he has a feel for how to finish and how to rush the passer.
And the last guy that John Owning brought up is Utah's Bradley Anae, who I thought he looked really good at the Senior Bowl. He's 6'3", 257, 32, and 1/8-inch arms. So short arms, did not have a real good combine, below-average athleticism. So we're talking short arms and below-average athleticism, but I really liked his tape. Bradley Anae is one of the guys that I think when you talk about having a plan – that's a guy that I think is really good with his hands, seems to have a plan on a pass rush, finds a way to win. And I would say the athleticism thing and the arms combined, I guess, gives me enough pause to say, let's talk about third round.
Yeah.
Bradley Anae.
Yeah, Anae is a guy. Again, Jeff, I think you've done a great job with these defensive ends. I will say this, though, the Senior Bowl stuff is outstanding. Watch him against Austin Jackson against USC, and you'll have a whole different perspective the other way on this guy. Because Austin Jackson does not let him get anywhere near the quarterback. And
sure
and
arms.
Yeah, and I didn't see the problem I had with Anae is, where is the you if you get stopped, are you able to start again? So if you had that start-stop ability, he doesn't have it. Jackson did a great job of just hammering him at the point of attack, and it made him have to play a different type of game. And you know that didn't suit him very well. At the Senior Bowl, the tackles there might as well had welcome mats on their chest because they couldn't get their hands on him during that game. So really good for him in that regard. People got a good view of him there, but if you really want to study him and maybe some of the problems he has, go back and watch him play against USC.
There you go. Pass rushers in this draft for the Cowboys to consider. And a shout out to our buddy John Owning.
Good job, John. Work. Yeah, good job.
Go get one of those guys. Draft some good players, Steven. Will, if you're listening, pick the good ones out of that group. Great segment once again, gentlemen. Always look forward to Jeff and Brian's draft segment of the day. 420 right here on your home of the Cowboys. Lamar Jackson working out with the best wide receiver that nobody wants. We'll do that and more when we go around the NFL next in the G-Bag Nation. It is time now to go around the NFL here on your home of the Cowboys, 105.3 The Fan. Either one of you chomping at the bit. I do have a good Lamar Jackson story here.
Go for it.
He's having a little bit of a workout in Florida. Three guys got together. There's Lamar Jackson. Look at that. There's Marquise Hollywood Brown. Oh, you. Hey, that's pretty cool. Had a good rookie year. And oh, wait. Look at this. Blowing up the Instagram is one Antonio Brown. There's a picture with Lamar Jackson in between the two cousins, and there's a video of Antonio Brown catching a 50-yard bomb from Lamar Jackson. No defender on the play. Social distancing rules, somewhat acceptable here. There were only three of them, but they were not maintaining 6 feet. So, you know, I would expect Antonio Brown, the older gentleman in that trio, to say, hey, listen up, youngsters. Let a millennial tell you how this is supposed to go. Let's keep the distance. They were not keeping the distance. I think it's totally possible for you to keep the appropriate level of distance and have a great football workout, little basketball workout, you know, maybe not post-work, stuff like that. But you know, they are getting a little bit of heat for that one right there. The arm in arm look. I don't know about.
I'll push back on that basketball. Okay. Who's going to get my rebound? And have you been tested?
Because the ball might have the germs.
The ball
on it.
Might have the germs on it, brother.
Football might have the germs on it too. I would not be working out in these situations. I hear you, but I wonder how the public's going to look at it. Right? Do these guys get a pass for playing with a football and going arm in arm? Or do you say, Lamar Jackson, jerk move, bro? I don't know. I think you could take it either way. Now, what do you think of the possibility of Antonio Brown playing there? That would be amazing. The Ravens are expected to upgrade their wide receivers in the draft. They have 9 picks, including 5 in the first 3 rounds.
His cousin's there.
In their run-heavy offense, wide receivers totaled just 115 catches last season, which were 22 fewer than any other in the NFL. So they, you know, they don't need an upgrade to their wide receivers, but they sure could use one. So the Florida governor, by the way, is asking people to not hang out like that. But there they were.
Yeah, and then Florida, it's pretty darn serious, I know, because I got a text in the break of Amanda. She was trying to just drive with her dog to the Keys and just hang out. Like, they'll go to a beach by themselves and hang out. And there's a roadblock, and they basically said, no, go away.
Oh, so they've closed the beaches?
Yeah, so, like, it's getting pretty darn serious. I don't think the Ravens need to upgrade at receiver, and I think Antonio Brown would probably get frustrated there by a lack of targets. His cousin Hollywood is there, but I don't think – no, I don't think that's the guy. But I do think that they'll probably draft a guy. I think they could use an upgrade at wide receiver.
It's got to be a wide receiver desperate team. And no team with Lamar Jackson willing to run the zone read is going to be that desperate. They already have enough good players. It's not a good fit. There's got to be one out there.
No,
though, man,
I tell you what, I'm all for the Ravens doing this.
Are you?
Yeah, absolutely I am. The Ravens, they've got strong ownership, you know, in the community. They really they have the respect of their fans and stuff. I mean, you know, with Harbaugh as their coach. I mean, I see that locker room being strong. They have a great history of things. I mean, kind of taking care of players with big personalities. That to me would be a great fit for the. In my opinion, if you talk about – if he goes somewhere where he's going to run over the coach and run over the GM and all that stuff, you know, and maybe not do what he's supposed to do,
yeah,
problem. But, you know, because it could have worked in New England if he just didn't have the extra texting stuff going off the, you know, off the field. But the Ravens, to me, coach, front office, fan base, talent around him, I mean, that seems like to me a pretty good fit and a big time move that the Ravens should make.
A lot of stability there. I think right now the Antonio Brown opportunity would cost you so little.
Yeah.
I'd be strongly advocating, if I was the Cowboys, let's bring this guy in here and try to make it work. Especially if you call your friends in New England, they're like, yeah, it was pretty cool. Oh. You know, he just texted that gal to try to intimidate her away from testifying for some crazy reason, and Robert Kraft flipped his lid, said this guy's got to go.
Yeah, they're just, you know, everything that I've said this before, guys, everything that I heard from the New England guys was all about football being important. You know, that's all I can ask. The off-the-field stuff, if I can't go live with the guy. Even though if I was a GM and I knew it would save my job, and he could live with me. You know, if I know he was going to go out and have 168 targets and catch 120 of them, you know, he can come live with me. I'll watch out for the guy. But okay. There's certain teams that make really smart moves, and people probably say, oh, this is not a smart move, Bros. This is a good football player. Put it this way. That's a great football player.
Yeah.
You know, that's not just a good football player. That's a great football player.
And you have to be strong enough. You have to have good leadership enough to know that if the guy comes in and makes things a little bit chaotic on a day, you're going to be fine, you know, because your system is strong enough. That's why I think you made really good points about Baltimore possibly being a good landing spot for him.
Yeah.
Okay, around the NFL here on your home of the Cowboys, here's Brian Broaddus with Second Down.
I'll tell you what, the New Orleans Saints are doing it the right way. Not only I'm glad my buddy Sean Payton is feeling better down there. I really do appreciate that he is feeling well. That's my guy down there. But the Saints are holding their draft meetings at a local brewery.
Okay. Oh,
yeah, yeah.
How many people are there?
Well, they've got 6 to 7, Jeff, that come in the room. Okay. They're at the Benson family bought the Dixie Beer Company, which, by the way, Dixie Beer with crawfish is outstanding. You know, I need to get that all taken care of for you guys. But the team is, they're holding a small draft meeting and plans to work during the draft with certain precautions. Head coach Sean Payton said this during Wednesday conference call. Each member of the staff gets his or her temperature taken before entering, and only 6 or 7 members are in the room, and they're spread out from each other practicing social distancing.
Okay.
And they're also, they have the other members of the staff on like on conference calls or on Zoom and those things, so they can kind of all talk to each other.
But, so maybe Jerry's going to pick one of his businesses or one of his business partners to kind of – that's great marketing if you can, you know, have the team set up on cutaways here from this partnership.
Yeah.
Pretty cool way of doing business, if you ask
and
me.
And that Dixie Beer Company is an old school brewery there in New Orleans. And so, yeah, and the Benson family purchased it, and good for the Saints, kind of getting being able to have their meetings, but also doing it in a historical landmark down there in the city.
Be pretty cool. Yeah, okay, yeah. Around the NFL here on The Fan, and here is Jeff with third down.
Tua Tagovailoa update. This is a pretty shocking statement to me, but he says that his surgically repaired hip is fully healed and he could step on a football field and compete at full strength right now. So if you were he might not be ready for a football season, he's saying I could do it right now. He said, I feel 100%. I feel like if there was a game today, I'd be able to go out and perform the same way I was able to perform in previous years. I feel as mobile as possible. I feel 100%. So his agent, Chris Cabot of Steinberg Sports, told Yahoo earlier this week that the doctors have cleared Tua with no restrictions. Problem, of course, teams can't send their own doctors or trainers to examine any prospects or free agents because of the rules the leagues have issued. Because of the coronavirus, that has created some angst, not only with Tua, but other players. But he does say his agency's provided teams with all the updated medical information possible, has sent teams video of his workouts, and he's working out under the tutelage of Trent Dilfer in Nashville. He would not say which teams he'd met with virtually, but he said he limits meetings to just one team a day, and his calendar has been full. He added that some team owners have taken part in meetings. Most of the conversations have centered more on football as opposed to health. He says, I have no control over the circumstance or situation. If I was healthy, if I wasn't, I would have no control. So the best thing I can do is continue to work. Whatever team decides to choose me, I would be grateful. How do you deal with that as an NFL team? You say, hey, I'm cleared. Here's the scans. Here's the only thing you cannot have is your doctor examine me, because that's the rules right now. I figure there's got to be enough big-time doctors that whoever did the surgery for Tua and whoever's working with him, team doctors in the NFL probably have relationships with
absolutely
that guy, right?
Absolutely. And even at the medical rechecks, you have pods of doctors that work together. The Cowboys might work with a pod with the back in the day, like the Giants, the Jets, the Buccaneers, the Saints. You know, those doctors, yeah, those doctors get to pull and push on you as part of the medical evaluation. But there are certain doctors that the pod would let, like Dr. Warren with the Giants, maybe he was specializing in a technique or a certain thing that he understood, a special test, and the other doctors would let him do the test, and then he would make the evaluation for the group. So, yeah, these doctors have that ability to talk to each other if there are any types of questions that they have.
I'd be believing him, though. That's kind of what was said at the Combine, like this thing's going to heal up and the only concern is like long-term arthritis. So I'd take that at face value.
Yeah, we had that problem with Brett Favre. Almost didn't make a trade for him in 92 because of a hip issue there that inherited a guy plays 20 years. So kind of crazy that way, too.
Guys, it's tough without having access to the medicals to use a high pick on this guy. I think if I'm in the top 16, I might just let it go. Let somebody else take that chance. And
you're turning that card in, though, aren't you?
Do you see what that 17th team does? What's Dak's contract status on draft day?
He is not signed.
I'm putting that card in, yeah. I'm picking Tua.
How far could it legitimately get before teams would be trading up?
Okay, let's get as wild as you can get. And I think as wild as you can get is you can say Burrow goes one. And if we're going to pretend a bunch of teams aren't jumping to come get quarterbacks, we'll say that then at six, the Chargers take one and we'll make it Herbert.
Yeah.
And then Love goes to what would be the next quarterback landing spot. Is there any way I can get a quarterback to 17?
Vegas?
Vegas is totally in on that.
Good, yeah. Maybe they're the Jordan Love team. Let me pull up the draft order, and I'll tell you exactly what happens here.
We could take a look at that coming up in hour number four of the G-Bag Nation as we're out of time for this segment. We'll pick that up, though. There's a lot of good stuff to talk about, and Woody was talking about how and when MLB might finish up the season.
Tampa.
Okay, yeah, there's
14.
Another one.
Jordan Love goes at 14. Two is there at 17.
Tom's going to play another 8 years, though. Why would you do that? He's locked in. Tom wants to go to 50. Tom doesn't think he's old yet. Why would he think he's old at 45?
That's a fair point. It's a fair point.
They're going to have to take that ball out of his dead hands.
I can't wait till every Monday we're going to have a segment after the NFL games of what Tom did. 420. Let's check what Tom did today.
Why it's more realistic than ever that the Rangers could make the playoffs. It's coming up next in the G-Bag Nation.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.